Are you a single believer looking for the love of your life?
Or are you a married believer looking to grow the love you already have?
If you like practical advice
based on the Word of God
with real life examples,
you're in the right place.
I'm Cindy.
And I'm Wayne.
Welcome to Love with the Lines. Hello, and welcome to Love with the Lines. I'm Cindy.
And I'm Wayne.
And this is episode 10.
I can't believe it's episode 10.
You say that for
no,
every episode.
No, I don't say it for everyone. Yes. Almost.
Almost.
Almost, not every.
Almost.
Almost.
Well, this week is, like a few weeks ago, if you remember, a few weeks ago, I didn't have a voice, so Wayne did most of the talking.
This week?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's reversed. This week, I don't have much of a voice.
It's spring where we live, and that means it's great because the flowers are blooming, and the days are getting warmer, and the days are longer, but the trees are also full of pollen. We go out in the morning, and you have to brush the pollen off your car. And
yep.
So it's a little rough on everyone with allergies. So, today, we're going to talk about holiday traditions, and this is going to be the Easter edition of holiday traditions. So when you bring a marriage together, you bring two or more families together, and you may have a lot of the same holiday traditions, but you may have very different ones, or you may have a combination of some that are similar and some that are very different. And blending these traditions can sometimes be a real difficult thing for a married couple to achieve.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I know Easter brings a lot of different traditions with it. It depends on what your beliefs are and how you celebrate Easter. So, Wayne, what did you do in your family for Easter?
Well, I remember chocolate bunnies and chocolate chicks. Bunnies. That were really good. We had Easter eggs. We would, have a little Easter egg hunts or whatever, and we'd have Easter baskets when we got up in the morning on Easter morning. And like I said, I remember the chocolate. I remember a lot of things about food growing up. I ate a lot. My dad used to say the only way he could afford to feed me was because he lived on the farm. I used to drink a quart of raw milk every meal, but I digress. Mm-hmm. But anyway, we always had ham. I remember that. But, looking back, we didn't have a lot of Easter traditions, I don't think.
Mm-hmm. And my family had quite a bit. Mostly they were my mother's traditions. I think my dad just went along with whatever my mom wanted. So, and when we were growing up, that was back in the day when you got really dressed up to go to church. Everybody got a new outfit for Easter, and women wore white gloves and hats, and he had a new purse, and he had a corsage of some kind. And
so you guys went all out.
Yeah, wow. We went all out. It was a big deal, and I always enjoyed it because the church was always decorated. It was always smelled so good. It was full of lilies and tulips and hyacinths and daffodils, and it always looked so pretty. And there was usually special music, and then it was just my mom and dad and I, and we weren't very close to other family members, so it was typically only us having dinner together. We always had ham, like you said, you had ham for your family. And we got into this habit of taking a picture when you got to the point where you had stands that you could put cameras on. You got to realize Wayne and I were born in the 50s, and so photography has evolved quite a bit since we came on the scene, and so we've seen a lot of different varieties of ways to take photographs.
Oh my gosh, I can remember when the Polaroid camera came out.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you'd take a picture and you'd pull it out of the camera, and then you'd have to peel it off and wait for it to develop.
Yeah.
Oh, that was big stuff.
That was big stuff. So, but my dad figured out how to put the camera on on the TV or something to take a picture. And so my mom and dad and I would sit on the couch. I'd sit in the middle and then we'd take a family picture. Well, then when Wayne came along, then Wayne was in the picture, and then Ashley came along, and then Ashley was in the picture. And so now we've actually continued the tradition, although not on the couch. So now every year, we take a picture in our yard in front of, we have this big metal wagon wheel.
It's an antique wagon wheel.
Yeah, from the dairy farm that Wayne grew up on. And we take a family photo with the six of us in front of that every year. So it's been fun to see how the boys have grown and how our landscaping has changed over the 9 years that we've lived here. Yeah, so, and I know a big thing in where I lived, there was a farmer's market. It was in a building. It was called the Market House. And that was a big thing to go at Easter time. And this is back, animal activists don't write me because this all has been outlawed, but they used to have bunnies and chicks that were dyed different pastel colors for Easter. So there were pink bunnies and blue bunnies and yellow bunnies and green bunnies and chicks. But they had... they had flowers, Easter flowers everywhere, and corsages, the corsages to buy to wear on to church on Easter. And they had, you get your Easter ham and all the things to go with it. And then they had the local candy company only had a stand in the Market House at Easter time. And then they would have, and I always remember because they had these giant rabbits. These rabbits had to be 3 feet tall. But every year my mom would get me, they had a rabbit that had a basket on its back with jelly beans on the top for the eggs. And then they also had a hollow chocolate egg. You actually lifted the top half of the egg off and it was hollow inside. And my mom would fill that up with Hershey Kisses. And have my name, they would write your name on the top. So she'd have my name put on the chocolate rabbit and put on the egg. And so that was, so we had quite a bit. And my mom would hide eggs. Of course, you know, when I was little, I thought of somebody else was hiding the eggs. I'll watch what I'm saying just in case you have your kids listening. But we, you know, it was a big thing. There was a lot going on at our house at Easter.
Wow.
Yeah. So, well, and then one of the cool things that happened as Ashley got older, our daughter, we had a friend who liked to egg people's houses, but in a good way.
Yep, in a good way.
Yeah, so she would pick different families that she knew who had young children, and she would get up very early in the morning, and she would put plastic Easter eggs full of candy in their yard and, you know, maybe some other little goodies and stuff in there. And, you know, when our daughter was little, she wanted to catch whoever this was or catch the Easter bunny putting this stuff in the yard. And then when she found out it was her friend, our dear friend who she calls Aunt. And so then she got to be a helper. So then she could help egg people's houses. And that was very exciting. So that was fun for a long time. Time we did that, and so then we moved to where we've lived, where we live now, in the house we've lived now for 9 years, in the community where we've lived for 10 years. So we started new traditions here, new traditions at a church. So it's really important our family goes to church together on Easter, and we do other things. There's actually something going on at our church on Good Friday that we'll be attending, and. So that celebrating the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ is the most important part of Easter for us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So even though we still do some of the other things, we after church, we come home and we've done an egg hunt for the boys. We have twin grandsons. We've done an egg hunt for them their whole life, as long as they were big enough to toddle around with a basket.
And that's definitely evolved over the years.
Yes. We even asked them, they're 10 and a half this year, and we asked them if they still wanted to have an egg hunt. And they looked at us like we were out of our minds, like, why would we even think not to do the egg hunt? And but it's getting a little bit more expensive because there used to just be candy in the plastic eggs, but now the last couple of years there's been candy and money in the
plastic. They want the money. they like the money in there.
They're very motivated by a couple quarters and dollar bills in their plastic eggs.
Although it is fun hiding the eggs now, because now that they're old enough, you can hide them in more challenging places.
Right, right. And then we have another tradition, which is actually something that came from my family, from my, I always thought it was from my mother's family, but it turned out it was my dad's family that did this. It was actually a tradition that came from my dad's side of the family. And it's very interesting now because years ago, we looked this up on the internet to find out if this was really a thing and found out it had, it actually originated in Europe. But the name that we know it by, all reference to that name has been eradicated from the internet now. And I think because it had a it now has a negative connotation, and people are bringing awareness to this behavior, to a negative behavior also associated with this word. But this was called, we call it bullying eggs. And it actually, you can look it up. You can look up Wikipedia, look it up under egg tapping is the way. It's also called egg fighting, egg knocking, egg, there's a French word, pocking, egg, and egg jerping. And there's different...
different countries have their own...
have their own tradition. But it actually started, the egg tapping started back all the way in the 14th century in medieval times. And has evolved, but what this involves is you have real, these are real hard-boiled eggs, not just plastic ones, real ones.
Colored eggs.
And you take turns, and you you battle it out with your eggs. You tap your egg against the other person's egg, and whoever breaks the other person's egg is the winner of that match. And so then we keep going around until there's a, we'll change the name now, a winner of the egg tapping contest. And that's something that we did. And then we started it. We did it one time with our son-in-law's mother was with us for Easter. And she like thought we were a little crazy, but she got into the spirit of it. Mm-hmm. And
I think she cracked one on her son's head.
She cracked one on her son-in-law's head because she thought that was very enjoyable. So she embraced the tradition way. But anyway, that's something that we enjoy doing as a family, and we always have name eggs for that. So that's something that came from my family, is we always use the egg dyes that you actually colored on with a Q-tip. And so everybody had an egg with their name on it. And my mom liked to do polka dot eggs, and my dad liked to do stripe eggs. But now you did your eggs different in your family, right?
I think we just, what I remember was just them being dyed a solid color.
Just the ones you dip in the cup and dye them in. So our grandsons are undecided for what, last year I think I did all the name eggs.
You did all the name eggs.
They wanted to dip eggs in the pots of color dye. So I'm not sure if they're going to be helping me with the name eggs this year or not. But anyway, so those are our...
Well, they did do some different decorations and stuff, but not the name eggs.
So we'll have those. But so that's what we do after church. But as we said, the most important thing of this holiday for us is the meaning behind it. Which before I go into talking more about that, I do want to say, so we've talked about all these traditions, and Wayne is very easy to get along with, probably like my dad. You're very much like my dad. And he just accepted whatever traditions I brought to the marriage, and that's what we did. And well, you didn't really have any strong ones for this holiday. No. So that is something that as a couple, you need to discuss what is important to you. Like what's negotiable and what's not negotiable. It's like, what is the one thing? And I think if you have multiple things and you both have traditions, different traditions that you'd like to keep, you might not be able to do them all. So I suggest that you sit down and make a plan, talk about which one is most important to each of you and how can you embrace that in your family. And we've changed things. Like we always have ham for dinner, but we've changed the side dishes, a lot of it based on what the boys like or
personal
will eat.
Personal
preference, even of the adults, some of the adults about what they'll eat and what they won't eat. And this Sunday, this Easter, is actually Wayne's birthday, falls on Easter this year.
21 again.
Yes, 21 again. So we have to incorporate birthday celebration in with the Easter celebration. So that makes the menu look a little bit different as well. And So it's important to talk about it. And it's important to be willing to give in and to come to a compromise decision on these things.
That's what we keep talking off and on about balance.
There's yes, a balance there. Yes. My mother felt really strongly about things. And like I said, my dad didn't really care. But she always wanted things to be a certain way. And you could never veer from that. And then, you know, when we got married, I was determined that we would do what we could to do the thing that's most important, that's spending time with the people we love, and that we would build the holidays around that. And then when our daughter got married and she brought another family into the mix, brought her husband and his family's traditions into the mix, they had some specific things. And then the twins came along, and that just made our daughter's life really busy. And our son-in-law's life really busy. And so we're like, whatever works the best for you guys, it's most important that we're together. And so we were willing to give up some things and add some things in and change some things around just to make it so it wasn't a stressful time, but it's a time that we can enjoy together.
Yeah, and we're really blessed because we live close by, within like 15 minutes of them. So it's real easy for us to spend time with them on the holidays like this, which... not everybody has that opportunity to do that.
Mm-hmm. And if you have family, if you have children, if you're an older couple and you have children that are long distance, you know, now the beauty of the internet is you might be able to figure out some kind of tradition or game that you could do through FaceTime or one of the Zoom or one of the platforms they can use. So anyway, embrace your family traditions, but don't make yourself crazy with them. Work together to decide what's important to you and be willing to change traditions, to modify traditions, to change them, or to create new ones and let go of old ones. So that's the Easter edition of that. But again, as we were saying, the most important part of this holiday for us is that this is about the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. And our scripture today is John 3:16. I'm reading it from the New King James Version, and it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And that really is the good news. That's what there's a lot of questions sometimes about. Why do you call it Good Friday if Jesus was put to death on that day? But the good news is that he died so that we could spend eternity with him in heaven. And so it says that whoever, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so I'm a whoever, Wayne's a whoever, you are a whoever. So if you don't know Jesus and you'd like to know more about him and how to have a relationship with him, we actually put a link in the description for today's podcast. You can go to cru.org and click on how to know God, and it will take you through information. It may answer some major questions that you have, and also give you a prayer that you can pray if you would like to come into relationship with Jesus. So
I think that's it.
That's it for this week. That's the most important tip we could give you.
Yep.
So until we talk to you next week, we pray that God blesses your marriage and pray that you have a very blessed Easter weekend.
Yep. God bless. Bye now.
Bye.